Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, which is what we've been doing all week long up and down the state of Maryland and out in western Maryland as well, where we will be returning to today out in, Boonesboro or somewhere out that way at the Washington County Agriculture Center, a little show out there called the Buck Wild Show. Small show, not a tremendous amount of exhibitors, but folks from DNR are there, and a number of exhibitors from around the region. There's some big buck outfitters there from Illinois and Ohio, and there's some some retailers there. There's some folks that are selling guided hunts, archery. There's a gun bash. There's a pretty fair-sized display of firearms there. So, you know, it's a small show, but it's a well, we'll be there. Let's put it that way. They've got Roland Martin's going to show up today. Those of you who are Roland Martin fans, he's going to show up, and some folks that are well known in the area. However, last night, I was having a conversation with a couple of the other exhibitors, and folks I was talking to were from the Frederick County area, and the big news in Frederick County is the woman that was struck in the head with a crossbow bolt or arrow. Some people in the crossbow community take exception with the word bolt. I don't know why. Crossbow arrows have been called bolt since forever. But now they're arrows. Can anybody tell me why? Is that the attempt of the industry to try and, I don't know, create the impression that crossbows are archery tackle, which they are. But anyway, a Montgomery County woman in Damascus, Maryland, was struck in the head by an arrow on Tuesday night. Apparently, somebody was test firing the crossbow. Somebody was shooting it downrange into some hay bales. And my version of the story, and I don't know that this is the true version of the story, this is according to the people that lived in Damascus and heard the fire trucks and saw the helicopter come over, was that she had walked behind one of the hay bales while the shooter, you know, had pulled the trigger. And so she was actually downrange and was struck in the head by the crossbow bolt. Now, thank God she was struck with a field point. Family members of the woman told the Washington Post that she was released shortly after the accident on Tuesday night. I don't know how long shortly is, given my experiences of visiting the emergency room, and here's a woman struck by an arrow. Now, I don't think it was one of those situations where the arrow was, you know, embedded in her skull. I'm not sure. It might have been. But people say the accident happened as people were taking target practice outside a house in Damascus. The woman was struck after the arrow went through a bale of hay and then ricocheted. which tells me that people know nothing about shooting a crossbow or anything else. But if indeed she was struck by an arrow that went through a bale of hay, I would put out there, I would, you know, predict that the kinetic energy of that arrow had been pretty well reduced. And I'm just glad she wasn't seriously injured. I'm glad she was released from the hospital, but that would be quite an experience. I'm sure she had a headache. I'm sure she had some type of injury. But scares me. Scares me. The Maryland Fishing Challenge, as you know, we had Marty Gary on the show last week, and they were about to endeavor in the tagging process, but they've gotten more incentive now on the last month of the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Diamond Jim is worth $25,000 if he's caught between now and the end of the month. However, Labor Day, let's say. However, we've had a minimum of 5 Diamond Jims caught. Not all those folks have taken a polygraph test yet. One has. And has successfully passed that polygraph test. And the other 4 are awaiting the polygraph test. And as discussed, that simply means that, you know, it's not a rockfish that was caught, or a striped bass that was caught, you know, commercially and turned over to somebody. I mean, it's got to be pretty obvious that it was caught on rod and reel. But, not only is, and one of those fish just came in under the wire, so we don't know, we didn't know till after the 1st of August that the fish was caught by the end of July. So if that one was Diamond Jim, well, that changes things a little bit. But here's the deal. The Diamond Jim component of the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge entered its third and final phase this week when a crew of local volunteer anglers, Chesapeake Bay charter captains, and Maryland Department of Natural Resources biologists caught, tagged, and released more than 150 striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay. One of the tagged fish is now the official Diamond Jim worth $25,000. To the angler who catches it between August 1st and midnight September 3rd, and the other tagged rockfish known as Imposter is worth at least $500 each. Now, new this month, gift certificates have been also provided by a handful of generous local tackle shops, and so far this year, 4 potential Diamond Jim fish have been caught and are awaiting certification. Make that 5, since this press release came out. As an exciting added incentive, 6 Maryland fishing tackle stores, All Tackle of Annapolis, Clyde Sports Shop of Lansdowne, Fishbones Bait and Tackle of Pasadena, Herb's Tackle Shop of Northeast, Marty's Tackle Shop in Edgewater, and Tochterman's Fishing Tackle in Fells Point in Baltimore are each offering $1,000 gift certificates to the angler that catches the authentic Diamond Jim, not the imposter. What that simply means is there's going to be $6,000 in gift certificates provided by those shops in addition to the $25,000 if Diamond Jim is caught. And then the folks at Zachary Diamonds in Annapolis is providing a 1-carat total weight round brilliant diamond stud earrings, a pair of them worth about $4,000. That makes the value for Diamond Jim for the month of August, including the Zachary's Diamonds and the Tackle Store gift certificates, $35,000. I thought you'd like to know. Does that inspire you to go fishing? Here's a question. Just popped into my head. Just popped into my mind. Does the Diamond Jim incentive, or just knowing the Diamond Jim is out there, just knowing that they're a tagged rockfish worth a financial prize. Does that help in your decision to go fishing, or is your fishing opportunity just a matter of convenience? I'd really like you to answer that question, all of you. 410-922-6680 is our phone number, 1-800-922-6680. Does the financial, the chance at a financial prize enter into your decision to go fishing, or does it enhance your fishing experience? Do you even think about it? Do you talk about it? I'd like to know. I mean, let's say you hear this show in the morning and you hear me talk about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. And you go to www.dnr.maryland.gov and you hear me talking about the 80 species of fish and the citations and, you know, the sizes and the other anglers that have caught fish. And you hear all that. The question I have for you is, does it enter your mind when you go fishing or crabbing that, you know, if I catch a 9-inch crab, I'm going to be able to put that in the Maryland Fishing Challenge and I could win a boat, motor, and trailer? Or now that you've heard this incentive added value to the Diamond Gym program, does it enter your mind when you go fishing, or does it inspire you to go fishing? Do you ever get together and say, hey, I heard the rockfish are A, B, and C. Let's go. Maybe we'll catch Diamond Jim. 410-922-6680. Time to call. That's the question. Let me know. I'd like to hear from you. I've got quite a gourmet mixture here of coffee this morning, leftover coffee from yesterday that was in my thermos from Sheets Convenience Store. It's Colombian. And then mixed that with a cup of the, what do we call that machine bread stuff back in the back room, Brian? We have a name for that? Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say. It's caffeinated brown stuff. It's not bad, though. Not bad. Brian, open the lines. So people can get in. There we go. gotta love it. Well, you know what? I had some great watermelon. Been eating on it all week. I picked it up down at Papa John's. Look, I work with my sponsors, the folks that sponsor this show. Well, you know, summer is the time. This hot weather. Whew. Picnics, family get-togethers, camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes. And summer is cold, juicy melons. Boy, I love watermelon. Schillinger family at Papa John's farm, they like to take some corn on the cob that they grow, and they steam it with their crabs. Now, if you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, I'd like to recommend Schillinger Papa John's farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, enormous, their own tasty, super-sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready. Their squash and zucchini, peppers and onions, green beans, cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupes, and sweet, sweet watermelons. Papa John's Farm. Oh, man, you put them in the fridge and you let them get cold. Oh, nice. I-97, exit 12. If you live down that way or if you don't, it's worth the trip. 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day off exit 12, Route 97. New Cut Road, that's the exit, 8065 New Cut Road. They're open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6, and here's the phone number. Now, look, if you're having a family reunion and you want to get, you know, a couple boxes of tomatoes and a pile of corn on the cob, give them a call ahead of time, 410-969-8810. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Put me on a mountain, way back in the backwoods. Put me on a lake with a big one on the line. Put me around a campfire, cooking something I just cleaned. You do your thing, I'll do mine.
Hey, let's talk to Ed in Catonsville. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Hello, Alan.
Yes, sir. What's up?
My question is a little different than what you're asking. My daughter, just recently, within the last few weeks, has Lyme disease.
Right.
She's bit by a tick. And it's pretty bad, very bad case of Lyme disease. And I was just wondering, I'm not a hunter, so I don't know.
Okay.
I was just wondering about when a tick is on the deer, it comes off the deer and then gets on the person. Does that tick do anything to the deer? Like, you guys hunt and everything. Does that cause a problem with the...
Deer seem to be immune to Lyme disease for some reason, and it all has to do with the life cycle. Let's walk through it real quick. The female lays the eggs. Let's start right there, okay?
Yeah.
The eggs then hatch into little tiny ticks called larvae. Huh. The larvae try to find a host, whatever that host might be, and the predominant host in this area is a white-footed mouse, okay? Because obviously they're closest to the forest floor. But it could be anything. It could be a rabbit, it could be a squirrel, it could be a bird, or it could be a deer. That's host number one. Once the larva feeds on number one host, the fully fed larva drops off, goes to the ground, and then the larva molts into a little larger tick called a nymph. Goes to host number two. Host number two could be white-footed mouse, rabbit, squirrel, starling, white-tailed deer. The nymph, remember, went from egg to larva to nymph. The nymph then attaches and feeds on host number two. At that point, it molts into an adult. And then the adult is what you will find on host number three. And that's predominantly the white-tailed deer. That's why they call them deer ticks. That's where they're predominantly found. And that's what you see are adult ticks on white-tailed deer. Now, those nymphs or larvae can attach to a person at any point in time, whether your daughter was host number one, host number two, or host number three.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The Lyme disease is a result of the bite. It is a bacteria? Is that what it is? In the tick? I'm searching here. I'm just trying to... Let's see. Hold on a minute. Ticks have four life stages. Egg, six-legged larva, eight-legged nymph, and eight-legged adult. The ticks feed once during each stage. The eggs are fertilized in the fall, deposited in leaf litter the following spring. The emerges larvae in late summer seek their first blood meal, usually a small rodent or bird that may be infected with disease. They return to leaf litter and remain dormant until the next spring when they emerge as nymphs and seek a host, which may be mice, rodents, deer, birds, humans, who they then infect with the disease. After feeding for several days, they drop off the host onto the ground. After molting into the larger adult tick, they emerge in the fall and feed on a host, particularly deer, and again can infect humans. Then the female lays her eggs. You with me?
Yeah.
The question you had is, does it affect the deer?
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because the Lyme disease is in her spine and in her brain.
Oh, my.
And she's paralyzed, like, on one side of her face, and she's, like, taking intravenous, antibiotics right now.
Oh, my God. Is she...
She says it's going to be a long, slow process.
My goodness. Apparently the tick wasn't found in a timely fashion. Is that correct? I mean, it had to be on her for quite a while.
Yeah, she started out with headaches for like 4 days.
So she was bitten, and the tick dropped off. You didn't actually discover a tick.
And nobody, like the doctors or anything, I don't even know if they looked for a tick.
Right. You know? Right. Well, by that time, normally what has to happen is that the tick has to feed for about 24 hours. And then once they feed, they drop off, as I said. All right, so that, normally people don't even know that they've been bitten by a tick until they have either a rash or that, you know, did she have any external symptoms? Did she have
she started out with a headache for 4 days.
Right.
Then like migraines.
And, right.
She's supposed to get married September the 15th.
Oh, my.
I thought it was all just the tension of that, you know. So, then she got a pain in her neck, so then she went to the doctor after 4 days.
Right.
And he said it was a nerve in her neck, so then he sent her home.
But she didn't find any rash or that bullet?
Yeah, the rash finally showed up.
Ah.
All over her stomach and on her thighs.
Oh, my, yes.
And then her face became paralyzed, more or less. I mean, it's like, the things are starting to come back now a little bit.
That's good.
She's on the IV. But we moved her up to Pennsylvania because, I'll tell you, they don't seem to know how to treat it down here that great.
Hopkins is the best in this area that I know of. But there are a couple folks in Pennsylvania that do seem to know what they're doing as far as that is concerned. And, boy, I tell you, that is scary stuff.
Yeah.
So she was bitten, had the headaches, got into her brain and her spinal column.
When they finally took a blood test about a week, she'd like a week into this, they didn't take the blood test down here. We took her up to Pennsylvania. That's where they did that.
Right.
A neurosurgeon, and he found it in her spinal cord and in her brain.
Oh, my.
And it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, but I was just wondering if that does all that to a human and gets in their nervous system and their brain. I mean, I don't understand why it's not in that deer.
I understand that, and they seem to be immune to it. Your vet will tell you that, you know, you know.
Yeah, I have a dog that has.
Yeah, your dog can be infected.
Right, he has it, but it doesn't. The vet said it doesn't bother the dog. Your dog.
Right, right. I mean, animals have a different reaction to the disease than humans do.
Yeah, how about when you're hunting those deer? I mean, there could be ticks on that deer. Right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're on virtually every deer. I mean, people like meat cutters and taxidermists are totally susceptible to Lyme disease, and I've known several of them that have been bitten and haven't had to have been treated. But you know, it's a horrible disease. I mean, if it's not caught in time, I've been bitten 3 or 4 times by ticks, and I've picked more ticks off of me than I've actually been bitten by. But oh man, when you take your shirt off to take a shower or something like that, and you look down and there's a tick stuck on you, or you find one. I had two last year in turkey season. Neither one of them were on for more than a couple of hours, you know, and it doesn't take long for them to attach. But I've got a couple friends that have good friends that have been affected for years by Lyme disease, and you know they're on the antibiotic on a year-round basis, and it can mimic a lot of things. And one of my friend's cases, he thought he was having a heart attack. Another guy actually had a mini stroke. You know, and it just wears you down, and you wear out physically. I mean, you just don't have enough stamina.
Yeah.
But the answer to your question is yes. It's very predominant in the in the woods in Maryland, especially in the fall, and, you know, bow hunters and people. Well, I mean, I've even had them in firearm season. You know, you'll be driving along and you look down and there's a tick crawling on your shirt after you've gotten out of the woods. You know, and it's just disappointing.
I heard that these deer ticks are like you can't even hardly see these ticks.
They're very tiny, and that's the one that carries the infection. Now,
right. And they can get in your, they said they can get up your nose and your ear.
Oh, I don't know about all that. I don't know that you would not feel a tick no matter how small crawling in your nose or crawling in your ears. But they are very sneaky and they do, you just don't know they're there. But I've been treated twice on the antibiotic routine for Lyme disease, but nothing ever came of it that I know of. I mean, I know I've had them attached for a certain period of time, and probably more than 24 hours is where the danger is. So I've never really had the bullseye rash, but I've, you know, the ticks that I've discovered on me may or may not have been Lyme disease ticks, may or may have not have infected me, but I've taken the antibiotics as a matter of course right at the beginning, and doxicillin, I think, is what they treat you with initially. So,
yeah.
But Ed, listen, we got to move along. I'm sorry about your daughter, and I thank you for the call. But I hope I answered your question. Yes, it is a danger. Doesn't seem to affect the deer.
Yeah.
You know, there's no problem with eating the deer meat or anything like that. It's just something to be aware of out there. There are a lot of pitfalls out there.
Okay, thanks for the information.
All right, Ed, you take
care.
Great
show. I listen to it every week.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Here he goes. Let's talk to Jeremy in Middle River. Good morning, Jeremy.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead. Answer the question.
Oh, sure. Honestly, the whole thing with the citations and all that doesn't really affect my fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason is probably because I'd rather have catfish over any other type of fish that I could eat, to tell you the truth.
And you're not necessarily out for the giant catfish, right?
If I can get a boat and get out somewhere, I could, yeah, because I go fishing because I want to eat. You know, certainly if it's something too small to eat, I'll release it, but I go hunting, or I go fishing only for food, not for sport.
Come on. Don't insult my intelligence.
Well, I mean, fishing is...
You don't go fishing for sustenance. You're not an Inuit in.
No. What I meant by that is I go fishing specifically to catch fish that I would like to eat.
Of course.
I didn't mean to say that that's my only means of eating.
I know. I'm just kidding you.
Fair enough.
By the way, do you fish for blue catfish at all?
I have actually just found out about them recently, yeah.
Okay. Now, and where do you primarily fish?
I just started getting back into it. I kind of quit for a couple of years because the summers have been so horrible.
Right.
I work in machine shops with no air conditioning all week.
Oh, man, so. Yeah. No wonder you want to get out. Absolutely.
So I just started up again. I used to fish above and below Conowingo Dam.
Yep. A lot of flathead catfish up there that people are fishing for now.
I haven't been up there yet this year. I have been going over to my aunt's house by Red Eye Yacht Club and fishing off their pier. And they got a boat I'm going to fix up to take out.
Oh, good for you. Okay. Well, the reason I ask about the blue cats is there are tagged blue catfish now in the Potomac River. Now, a lot of people go from here to the Potomac to fish for those big catfish. And bass and everything else that's in there, and this is pretty new. The researchers and managers involved in a cooperative effort to learn more about blue catfish movement in the Potomac River began this year. This just came out yesterday, I believe. Blue catfish will be tagged with two tags, one white, one yellow. Now, if you catch a blue catfish with one or both tags, remove the tags and give Mary Groves a call to learn more about your fish and to claim your reward. It doesn't necessarily say what the reward is, but the tag colors are yellow or white. The tag reads Cooperative Research Reward. Call 301-888-2423. A reward will be provided for each tag you return. If you catch a blue catfish with two tags, please return both tags and you will receive two rewards.
If I remember correctly, that was outlined in the book that I got with my license this year. Reading through that book was when I first heard of blue catfish.
Right. I don't know that the tagging survey was revealed in that book. This is the blue catfish VAMD cooperative tagging program. It may have been, but this press release just came out yesterday. So they've been they've been tagging the fish, and now they've announced a tagging program. So we're looking for blue catfish tagged behind the dorsal fin or beside the dorsal fin with two dorsal tags, one yellow, one white, one either or both. So,
okay, I will definitely.
So keep that in mind if you're out down on the Potomac. But the flathead catfish have invaded the Susquehanna River there below Conowingo Dam, and we've got another invasive species. But this one happens to be good to eat and a lot of fun to catch.
The other thing that really upset me was when the fishery industry started feeding farm-raised catfish a diet specifically designed to make them not have any flavor, and it kind of ruins it for people who actually like fish.
They've started feeding fish a diet that eliminates the flavor.
Yes, the diet is designed to keep the flavor as light as possible so that people who normally wouldn't eat farm-raised catfish will eat it because it doesn't taste as fishy.
Ah. See, I would like that. I like the texture of fish. I like the mild taste of fish. That's why I like walleye. I love rockfish, and I'll tell you, I like sea trout. I like bluefish. Bluefish is about as fishy as a fish as I want to eat. But
I grew up with my grandfather teaching me how to fish. And
right.
We'd catch catfish, and you know, ones big enough to eat, we'd keep. And
right.
We'd catch carp. And
yeah.
The ones that were big enough to keep, we'd eat. And it wasn't until I grew up that I found out most people around here won't eat carp.
I love carp. That's a very white, light, tasty, flaky fish. It's a little bony, but it's very good to eat, that's for sure.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it, Jeremy.
If I could ask you one quick question.
Okay.
I was just wondering, this winter I'm hoping to go on my first hunting trip.
Okay.
I want to go out. I like camping, so I'm going to go out for a few days during the week and, you know, camp for a few days and hunt. I'll be hunting deer with a .44 revolver with scope on it.
I'm going to assume you've taken a hunter safety education course.
I will be when the range I belong to starts offering it this month.
Okay, good. Good for you.
And I was just wondering if you could offer me any tips for first hunting trip and for handgun hunting specifically.
Well, you've certainly chosen a caliber that's worthwhile, .44 Magnum. That'll work.
Ruger single action.
Yep, good gun. Do not take a shot that's too far away. You know, I would, as far as handgun hunting is concerned, I would probably offer that handgun hunting and bow hunting are probably pretty equivalent as far as the range. Even though you might be able to hit a target at 50 yards, you lose so much kinetic energy, you probably want to keep that deer within 50 yards.
Okay, I was assuming
that would
50
be,
yards was going to be my maximum.
Now, that's a very good assumption. Very good assumption, yes, sir. But, I mean, check your...
I've been training myself to shoot at 25-yard targets.
See, that's perfect.
I outgrow the range on
yep.
that.
Check your ballistics. Check your kinetic energy out there at 25 and 50 yards. And you want to be as close to 1,000 foot-pounds of kinetic energy at whatever range you shoot to really help your experience. Now, I know a few guys that hunt with handguns, not a lot, but I would certainly
Steak is very yummy, and never had much interest in shotguns or rifles. And when I discovered that you could hunt with a revolver, okay, now I'm in.
Now you're in. Okay, well, good. Hey, listen, now I do have to move along, Jeremy. I appreciate the call. Call anytime. Thank you. Bye bye. There he goes. All right, let's talk to Carol in Martinsburg, Pennsylvania, all the way up in Martinsburg. How are you?
Oh, hi. I just heard your gentleman that just called in about his daughter.
Yes.
And I wanted to pass on some information that helped us, and I don't know if it would help her or not.
But, okay.
But my husband, when we lived in Maryland, developed
Lyme disease.
Lyme disease, and he developed Bell's palsy from it.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, he went to take some acupuncture treatments.
Really?
From a Dr. Nakazawa, and mm-hmm. he was very helpful. It reduced the paralysis, and his eye was watering, and he had a lot of problems from it. And
mm-hmm.
that improved his condition a lot.
I'm a big believer in acupuncture, acupressure, and a number of the holistic treatments. I don't believe that you can cure cancer with supplements, but I certainly know that in conditions where you've got nerve damage and pain and things like that. And in this case, Bell's palsy is basically the facial paralysis, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And his whole left side of his face.
Yeah, it just kind of sags.
Affected.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've known people that have had that and have been affected with that. And as I mentioned, the Lyme disease has a myriad. I mean, it can affect your short-term memory. It can affect your heart. It can affect your breathing, it can affect a lot of different things, and it's just a terrible, terrible disease. But I am glad your husband did receive some relief from the acupuncture treatment. So,
and I was wanted to pass that along because I hope it may do some good for his daughter.
I hope so. I hope so.
I wish him all the best because that's
terrible.
Like you said, it's a terrible thing.
Yes, it is. Hey, Carol, thank you very much. Appreciate
sure.
you calling from Martinsburg, Pennsylvania. You listening on the computer up there?
Yeah, we have internet radio up here.
Oh, great. I just got a proposal for an internet company that does outdoor programming to put the program on the internet full time. I'm thinking about it, and then there's a potential to be on Sirius XM, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, we love it. Our son gave it to us for Christmas, and we use it all the time.
That's great. Well, look, you're up in my old stomping grounds. I grew up in Altoona.
Oh, yeah, we're about 30 minutes away from
Yeah, well, and then I've got relatives in Bedford, and actually went to a high school up in Berlin, Pennsylvania. So
we're
not far from us.
Not many people know about this area.
Martinsburg? Oh, man, I used to travel through there all the time. I was following a cop through Martinsburg one time, and I didn't know it was a cop. He was in a unmarked state police vehicle. And that was back in the days when I wasn't a very good driver, but I'm tailgating this guy, right? And didn't know it. And I see him looking in the mirror at me, and I see him, looking in the mirror again. I'm thinking, oh, what's going on? And he reached over on the seat and put his smoky hat on.
Uh-oh.
And then, motioned me over.
Well, there's only one stoplight in town, so you couldn't.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. So
you couldn't have done too much.
No.
So, well, it's nice.
Let me ask you, Carol, one more question. Are you having some meadow scrapple for breakfast today?
No, actually, Richie's is the closest one to us.
Richie's, oh.
But I do love Meadows.
Yeah, right? Meadows is good stuff, let me tell you.
It's some of the best.
Next time you have a big old slab of Meadows scrapple for breakfast, think of me, all right, will you?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, thanks, Carol.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. There she goes. All right, we got to take a break. And I got to tell you folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. There's more to the Maryland Fishing Challenge, even more incentives now to go fishing and to catch that Diamond Jim fish. That's for sure. You could win, well, if you catch a citation-sized fish, and there are 80 opportunities, 60 species of fish in freshwater and tidal rivers and on the Chesapeake Bay and on the coast that, well, they all have citations attached to them if you catch one a certain size. And even the blue crab has a minimum size now that if you you could enter your blue crab into the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, maybe even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov. That's www.dnr. That stands for Department of Natural Resources. .maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. The question is, are you feeling lucky? Again, that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. And don't forget about Diamond Jim. We'll tell you a little bit more about him in a few minutes. I would invite you to protect your truck with a Linex protective spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex in Glen Burnie. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market. It's the one I have. It's covered by a nationwide lifetime warranty, and it's rated number one in customer satisfaction. Now, if you don't want the standard black spray-in bedliner, there's a couple options. There are. There's one that has a nice shiny finish with even more protection. That's the one I have. And then there's one that's called the Linex Extra. And what that does, it includes Kevlar in the mix with the Linex material, and it's available in color. You can, you know, if you have a bright red truck and you want a bright red bedliner, you can get that. They use the paint code on your vehicle and mix up the color according to that. And then you got the extra protection of Kevlar, so superior protection with that as well. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, that's where you get it. And also, if you have like an underground tank, a new oil tank that you're putting in, or you've got secondary containment, or you've got a deck or a horse trailer that you need to get sprayed, well, that Linex folks can come to you with the new mobile unit. Linex protective coatings can be applied to any machinery or anything that you need to protect, that's for sure. If you'd like to know more, visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie online at baylinex.com. BAYLINEX.com or stop by 400 Arundel Corporation Road. That's Bay I. It's a little industrial complex there, Bay I, and you'll see the sign on the door just off Beltway Exit 3A in Glen Burnie. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199. Ask for my buddy Bobby Hawkins. Mention the Outdoors and Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors. Learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, now more than just bedliners.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I drive a John Deere tractor, yeah, I work these fields, sun up, sun down every day. I got a camo hat that says, get her done, and I believe in the American way. And I believe in God, and I believe I'll have a beer at the end of the day. 'Cause I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. A Remington 870 pump is in my pickup truck on the gun rack, and that's where she stays. I got a bumper sticker, says there ain't no life west of the Chesapeake Bay. I drink Budweiser beer in the 10-ounce can. Us locals call it the Shore Thing. I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. I like to hunt ducks and geese. I like to fish.
There he goes. All right. Certified Redneck, Eastern Shore, Redneck, USA. Hi, Pat. How are you? All right. The question remains, does the Diamond Jim Fishing Challenge, does the incentives that are out there, boat, motor, and trailer, vacation, do you think about that when you go fishing? If you're out on the bay, you're thinking, boy, I hope I catch Diamond Jim today. Well, wouldn't it be nice to catch Diamond Jim today? Now, here's my take on that. Because I talk about it all the time, it's not front of mind. It's not there, but it's in my mind. You know, when I'm pulling rockfish, I'm always looking for the tag. Are you? That's the question. You know, I'm just having fun. I'm out. I get to fish so seldom anymore. I'm having a good time. I'm relaxing. If I'm catching fish, I don't care if it's a 10-inch rockfish or a, you know, 9-inch yellow perch or white perch or whatever it might be. I don't care. I just enjoy, you know, pulling up fish and letting them go for the most part. And I also enjoy, if I got one to eat, I enjoy eating them as well. The question is the incentives that are offered by the department, the investment in Diamond Jim, the investment in the time and effort it takes to do all that, is it something that drives you to fish? Or is it something that you just know is there and, you know there's a citation program. If you catch a big enough fish, you're going to follow through and get an award. Obviously, a lot of people do. I mean, there's almost 1,000 people now in the contest that have caught citation-sized fish here in Maryland. It's no easy task to catch a fish big enough to qualify. We just have a lot of good quality fish here. But is it part of your day? Is it part of your thinking when you go fishing? 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Now, let's see. We got more on Diamond Jim, too, by the way. Breaking news. John, my buddy John, said, how does deer meat stack up against other red meat such as beef insofar as cholesterol, calories, and any other pros and cons? Deer meat stacks up like this. Less cholesterol, less fat, less calories, more protein. Pretty simple. Less cholesterol, less fat, more protein, less calories. Beef is raised to enhance the fat content within the muscles of the animal. If you cut a nice piece of steak and you see all that marbling in there, well, that's fat. That animal's been fed to increase the fat because that's where the flavor is in animals that have fat inside the muscle tissue of the meat, like cattle. Okay? Deer do not have the same type of fat structure. The deer is a layered fat on the outside of the muscle tissue, much like lard, like beef lard, if you know what that is, or pig lard. And it's a fat coating. It's a very, very bitter-tasting, nasty, gummy stuff that you want to get rid of as much as possible. When people have had a bad experience with venison, it's because of the way it's been cooked, and primarily because people have left some type of fat in there thinking that that adds flavor. It does not. It destroys the flavor. That's the stuff that coats your mouth. That's the stuff that gives you that waxy coating on the roof of your mouth if you've eaten venison that's been cooked in its own fat. So the answer to that problem is to trim every scrap of fat off of the venison. That, however, makes it very dry. You cannot overcook it. You cannot overgrill it. You have to cook it in liquid. You have to crock pot it. You have to, if you want to do a deer steak, you know, you just basically sear it. And it's very good rare, by the way. It's very good rare. I wouldn't go any more than medium rare, to be honest with you, if you're going to eat deer steak. Tenderloin, same thing. Now, there are other ways to cook it. You can roast it. You can do, but it involves a lot of liquid, a lot of liquid. That's why I like sour venison, like sour beef. You sear it a little bit. You just brown a little bit in the skillet. You throw it in a crock pot with a bottle of Mrs. Minnick's sour braten mix and a quarter cup of vinegar and just let her go. It gets extremely tender. You make your gravy with ginger snaps. And you eat that venison over some rice or noodles or something like that, and it is spectacular. My ex-mother-in-law used to cook deer steaks. She used to bake them. She'd bake them in milk to keep them nice and moist. And that's the difference between deer and beef, for example. Now, same listener said he was listening to another radio show, and we're talking about some religions don't eat meat from animals with certain types of hooves. That was a religious restriction, I believe, in Leviticus, where the animals that were restricted were animals that had split hooves, like deer and cattle, and chewed the cud. Okay, these are vegetarian animals. They chewed the cud, and they had split hooves. Cattle are in that category. The whole cervid family, deer, antelope aren't cervids, but deer and moose and caribou and things like that, they all chew the cud. But animals that chew the cud, like rabbits, which does chew the cud, does not have a split hoof. And the danger was pretty simple. The animals carried diseases. As far as pigs are concerned, pigs have split hooves, but do not chew the cud. Pigs will eat anything, and pigs are were subject in the day to trichinosis, I guess. Rabbits have tularemia and some other things that that were not even known about at that time. However, God knew what he was talking about, so he laid down the rules and said, split hoof, chew the cud. Hope that answers your question, John. Let's see. Well, I got to tell you about our friends at Fishbones Bait and Tackle. I was down there to see Bud the other day. Bud was putting away some bait. He was working on bull lips. You know what bull lips are? Exactly what it says. They're crab bait made of the jowls and jaws and lips of cattle. And a lot of people use them for bait. You can buy a box of bull lips, 50-pound box, if you want. And that's what they are. You can also buy veal lips. Anyway, Bud was working on that. And we talked about a couple of different things. And he's doing some cool stuff for the next Crab Magazine next year that are pretty innovative, and we're working on that. But Fishbones is located at 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. I did pick up a couple soft crabs while I was down there, too. You take Route 100 all the way to the end of Mountain Road. You head out towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. You'll find Fishbones, bait, tackle, crab, and supplies. Pretty simple. Bait, tackle, crab, and supplies, and those great big Lifetime crab steamers with Fishbone's name on the lid. They're made out of stainless steel. They got a basket and lid. Three sizes, half bushel, bushel, bushel and a half. And it's the last crab steamer you'll ever have to buy. Fishbone's Bait and Tackle, 410-360-0573. 410-360-0573 for an accurate and up-to-date fishing report. We'll tell you about our buddy Sean Mann when we come back. We always get to the end of the hour, and Sean gets, the can gets kicked down. We feel like Congress when I do that to Sean. And don't talk about SeanMann.com, or I don't tell you to call his 800 number, 345-4539. But we'll talk more about Sean Mann and the Eastern Shoreman Goose Call on the other side of the hour. Got a couple other interesting emails and breaking news. Breaking news on Diamond Jim. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you'd like to get on the line, that number again is 410-WCBM 680, 410-9.